16 SEN. Melbourne Time of Sport from your coach online, Alan Rodway, is in the studio. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome.
Good afternoon to you too, Kev. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see your happy, smiling face.
Thank you, mate. It's good to be in here.
Now, we're going to talk about success.
We're going to talk about success and a success matrix. And this is a massive topic, a really important topic, and I don't think there's anything more important. And there's a lot in this, so we'll spend the hour talking about it kindly. Thank you to
you. Yeah, no, pleasure. 9429 1116. If you want, if you've got any questions, by all means, jump on and ask, because you can always go online. Your coach online is where you can head to. 0433 98 11 16. Now, I love the way the matrix is set out, because it makes it really, I understand it.
Do
I
you?
Get it. Yeah, I do.
That's good feedback, because that took me a long time.
No,
to
it's good.
That.
It's good, because you've broken it up into the areas of life and the questions you ask there,
yeah,
and then into how you sort of adapt it to each part of your life.
Yeah.
Your personal life, your career,
fantastic,
all those, breaking all those things up, which I reckon is really good. The first question is the most obvious one. What do I want?
Yes, it is. Driving in now, I just saw a great big billboard that said something like, dreaming of running your own business. And you see that sort of advertising all over the place, which is really playing to the human emotion of what you want.
Yep.
And what you might dream about. So to sort of set the scene of this is really to make a statement of what I believe and why I've put a hell of a lot of time into creating this success matrix. And what I believe, and I genuinely believe this, is that in Australia anyway, the majority of people have the opportunity to be successful and to be happy. Now, I think that's a fact.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's a little bit...
That's not being a blind optimist. That's,
no, it's
I
not.
I think that's being a realist.
Yeah, so we say it's this country, it's the majority of people in this country. I believe that you can and therefore should be successful and happy, and I think they're actually the same thing. And then say, well, okay, well, what's that come down to? And it comes down to the choices that you're making. And certainly my life's been a reflection of that, and you and I have a lot of fun off air talking about our lives,
yep,
and where they've taken us from our children and our grandparents and being a shepherd and boy and dad working in the railways and stuff. And now I sit here sort of 60 years later sort of looking back on all of that thinking, do you know what? I actually cannot draw any conclusion other than my life has been a result of the choices I have made.
Yep.
It categorically has.
Yeah.
And I was I think I was really fortunate to have not been born into money. I wasn't born into fame or a family that had control or anything like that. I was born into a very hard-working family that had strong values, and I've been very grateful for that. So certainly my life has been an opportunity to say, we didn't starve to death. We were very basic people, but I was given choice. So I chose, you know, what I did in education. I chose who my friends were, my relationships, where I went, where I work, where I live. I choose all of that.
Yep.
So the outcomes in my life have absolutely been a result of the choices I've made, and I would say that that's the case for most people who are hearing us now.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
And if that's
agree.
A sound premise, then this success matrix takes on a heck of a lot of meaning. And there, a couple of years ago on air, I talked about a study that I came across. It's a very old study done years ago of a lot of researchers identified 500 people who they said were successful, and that was everything from entertainment to research, scientists, people in business, intellect, you name it. But all these researchers said, well, this group of 500 people from all sorts of ages, all sorts of backgrounds and in different countries, they could say for one reason or another they were very successful people. The purpose of the study was to try and find what had made them successful. Was there anything common across the 500? And through a very frustrating exercise, they could only find two things. One of them was possibly a little bit negative, but a very strong statement, and will not please the educationalists who are hearing this.
Right.
And that is that success in life has nothing to do with education. There is no correlation whatsoever.
With the education system as we know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To date,
yep,
nothing.
Yep.
And in fact, and this is going to really ruffle some feathers, in
right.
fact, the correlation, the relationship between the level of education of these individuals and success was reversed. In other words, it was negative. So the higher the level of education, the lower the level of success in life. Now, you can, clearly, anyone can point to examples and say, well, I know that person is really successful and they've got a master's in business administration and a doctorate in, you know, whatever.
A dip ed, yeah, yeah, all that, yeah.
And we can all do that.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
can say, well, you can point to, yeah, all sorts of people who have finished school in year 7 who have gone on to be enormously successful.
Lindsay Fox and all those sorts
Absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Self-made people.
Yep.
Remembering again that we are not defining success by wealth or power or fame. We're defining it by people reaching and achieving their own goals as they set them through lives. And that's the way this study was done. But they found there was no relationship between education. Now, they found that quite disappointing to say, well, bad luck. You know, you can't sort of say if you go get educated at the highest level, you'll be successful. Bad luck. But they found one other thing. And this other thing was that all 500 of these people were, quote unquote, obsessive goal setters.
Oh, really?
That's all they found. There was nothing in their biology. There was nothing where they lived. Nothing from a cultural perspective. The only common factor, they were not only goal setters, they were obsessive goal setters. Now, that translates into lots of things. They were clear on what they want. They chased it very hard. But that was the only thing. So it gives me the right to stand in front of a lot of people doing sort of presentation work and say, well, here's some really good news. It doesn't matter what your level of education is. It doesn't matter where you were born or what you came from, how much money you got now. If you really want to be successful, you have to be very, very clear on what you want, which raises the first point of clarity in that success matrix. You have to be clear on what you want. But if you don't accept at the outset that you are in control of your life in this country and you have choices and they create your outcomes, and if you don't then accept that you have to be clear on what you want, you're not going to get very far with anything.
Yeah.
In life, you
No, that's
think.
True. But I like the way that you then break that down into the different areas become how you judge it, because you don't judge it, as you said, on money and wealth and all those things. You judge it on these things. Self and individual, what you want as an individual, what you want from your health and fitness.
Yep.
What you want from your family and your personal time. What you want in your career, which is clearly totally different to the three we just talked about. Finance, what you want for that, what sort of lifestyle you want to live. And that sort of, for me, breaks it up into the perfect areas of then you have goals for each of those things.
Yep.
It's not one big kind of blanket goal, I want to be rich.
Because that begs the question, why? And where will the happiness be?
Yeah.
And there's a definite order in the way you just read them out, Kev. And I want people to really think about this, that the first area of life is self and individual. Now, there's a very strong reason for that. Imagine saying to someone, I will help you lose weight, or I'll help you be better in your career, or help you earn more money, or whatever. But the person within themselves is not okay, within themselves.
Yep.
Now, imagine the struggle or even the contradiction that someone has who goes to a dietary program or whatever, who is not okay with themselves, who is internally not happy. I always say this, it's not deep and meaningful. That's realistic.
Mm.
They're not okay inside. They don't feel good about themselves, but they're off onto a program that'll restrict them to 900 or 1,000 calories a day. Or you say, if you want to improve your career, you need to go and do this course. Or
they're
if
just going
to
become a miserable skinny bugger.
Well, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
I mean, you go back and say, to be successful and to achieve your goals requires a lot of self-discipline, and it requires a lot of giving up things that you might otherwise want. Well, the ability to do that for a person who's not okay in the first place is severely reduced. So the very first area of a life that anybody has to look at to get as right as we can, I mean, there's no such thing as getting it right. Life can't be cured. It can only be managed.
Yep.
You can't get it right, but you have to get it as right as you can to say, what is it that you, as an individual, what is it that you yourself want? What do you want? Now, you have to start there to get that as good as you can.
Well, because the others will then fall into line behind that.
Yes.
Because once you set the parameter, that's the hardest question of them all. What do you want?
Once
you've answered that one, I think the other ones are pretty easy.
Yep, they are. It is very, very difficult, and it's the least tangible. And a lot of coaches and a lot of advisors will sort of keep away from this because it's the one that's really very, very difficult to measure, depending on what the person says are their answers to it. But you can't avoid, go back again and say, let's put someone on a 900 calorie a day diet, or let's make them go and do a course, or let's try and get them to train something about a relationship, when inside they're clearly not okay. You're asking them to display a level of self-discipline that is in the skies, and they're not likely to do it. Now, that can create a ripple effect that says, if they feel they fail in their attempt, they may not try again. So you may well be creating a worse problem for them than they had in the first place, rather than saying, how are you? Well, I don't feel good at all. Well, if you don't feel good at all, we need to deal with that first. How do you want to feel?
Yep.
So you've got to deal with that first. And the second area then goes, clearly, if you're all right inside or as good as we can help you to be, the second area then becomes the physical side of your life, your health and your fitness.
Yep.
But you can go there once you're okay. Look, lots of business people, as we said last week on air, go away to health camps. Lots more and more people are doing that. More and more people are taking time out to feel okay with themselves. But they will deal with your mind before they deal with your body. And then go to your body and say, well, how's your health? And what do you want on that front? Because if your mind's okay and you're feeling okay about yourself, then you can go to your health and fitness. So yep. Then you can say, well, as a machine, I'm okay. My mind's okay, my body's okay. Yep. I can now face the world. But it's a bit silly to go to anything else in your life if you're not ticking both of those boxes first. Like, I'm sick, I'm overweight, I can't move very well, I feel crap inside, I've got low self-esteem, but let me face the world on the career front. It's not going to work.
Oh, well, but that's what that's what probably, I don't know what percentage it would be, but that's what a large percentage of people do every day.
A lot.
So if you just sit down and do that, the only thing is that's not a simple exercise to come up with what you want, because it's a blank canvas, isn't it?
Yep.
When you sit down and ask yourself that question,
absolutely,
and you've got to sit down and be honest with yourself.
Yep, you do, and that word dream, as fuzzy as that sounds, has to come into this, because if this whole exercise of creating this success matrix and creating success in your life, if it doesn't involve dreaming, then all you're doing is trying to adjust your current reality. And that's real. That's not what goal setting is about. That's almost sort of tweaking around the edges rather than saying...
You also got to not worry about what everybody else wants you to be.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. That's massive. Yeah, what is it that your parents might have wanted you to do? Teenagers are
affected by that. Because I was about to ask the question, how old is there an age, or is it a mindset, or what is it? Because when I started in my career, I was 16.
Yeah.
So I was deciding what I wanted to do at 16 years of age. I thought I knew what I want, but within 2 years that changed, and then it changed again, it changed again, it changed again. So,
I love the question. Yeah, it's a really good question, Skip. This is not a contradiction of this concept. It is fantastic to not know. It's terrible to not keep trying to find the answer. You know that saying that success is a journey, it's not a destination.
Yeah.
The whole of that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, gets to the one conclusion. It's not about the happiness, it's the pursuit of it. This is the pursuit of success. It's not about saying, you know, in 3 years' time I'm going to be exquisitely happy and everything's fine and dandy in my life. It's about the quest, it's about the journey, and it's about the trip that you take and it being as good as you can make it, knowing that you'll never actually get there. So the 16-year-old is probably not going to know the answer to most of these questions, but neither will the 60-year-old.
Oh, I thought I did.
Yeah. Which could actually be a worse problem.
Yeah.
And lots of people, we say guys go through a midlife crisis and they say, well, they won't know a lot of those answers. You go back to square one and say, well, who are you and who do you want to be? And they'll say, I thought I knew and now I don't. You know, now sort of through age 40 to 50, I've really got lost. I don't know. I'm riding a Harley with a leather jacket on and going down to, you know, Rosebud Beach every Sunday when I thought I used to want to work at the 25th floor in Collins Street with an accounting firm.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they call that a midlife crisis. And, well, it's not actually a crisis. It's a part of someone's life where they're really just reassessing where they are, whether they're happy, and it's a change in direction. It's not a midlife crisis in any way, shape, or form. It's just more pronounced than it would be maybe when you were 25, maybe even when you were 55. You wouldn't call it a crisis then. You'd just go, I'm probably wiser, so I'm reassessing what I really want from life. We don't call that a crisis then. If you go 45, boy, I should know the answers.
Yeah.
I don't. That's a crisis. No, it's not. It's a sensible re-examination of where you are.
Yeah, it is. Alan Rodway's in the studio with me, your coach online. Success and the success matrix. Now, you can have a look at this on your coach online, on the website. We're up to question one. We're going to be here for a while, folks. when you finally do decide what you want, and as an individual, you decide what you want, and then you break it down into the other areas of your life, your career and your fitness and all those things. So then... the next obvious question is, why do you want that?
Spot on. So what you want, and I'd encourage people to not sort of sweat that too much in terms of the words they use, and it pretty much should be the first thoughts that come into your mind. So if we started with you as an individual, you as a person, in what do you want? What are the first thoughts that come on? Because they're usually going to be the pure thoughts. They're usually going to be from your heart, what you truly do want. If you think too much about it, your brain can kick in and really get in the road and start telling you, oh, but you know, you mightn't be able to do that, and or whatever. And to your point before, sometimes if you think too much about it, it can be the result of parental influence or peer influence or your own reality of what you think you can achieve and so on. So what are your first thoughts if I said to you, on the front for just yourself, what do you want? What do you want? And that could be anything. It could be anything from just, oh, well, I want to go and do the Kokoda Trail, which is not warm and fuzzy, or it might just be, you know what, I want to be a better person. Now, clearly, they're just divergently massively different in terms of those two examples. Or it could be I just might want to be a much better communicator with people around me. They're all you. The point of this category is it's not you as a radio host, it's not you as a dad, not you as a husband, not you as a friend. It's just you.
Yeah.
Now, particularly for parents and particularly for career-driven people, they tend to go straight to those goals. Of, you know, if you're heavily involved in your career, and I didn't name a category and say, what do you want? They'll really go into, oh, I want to get promoted, or I want to be better at work, or I want to earn more money, or whatever. So, well, I actually want to keep away from that. I just now strip it all back and just say, you're standing there bare naked. Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? And first answers are what we really want to grab.
Yeah.
So what I want, and then you go through the categories with each of that question. And then the second question to come, and these are deliberately in order, is why you want it. And that's for a person to become very, very clear in their understanding of why. That word is the most important word in the entire dictionary. It's one thing to say, I want to be a better person. It's another thing to say, well, you know, I want
people to like me, or I want to be more popular, or whatever that why part of that is. Yeah.
And until you and keep saying why until you don't have any more answers, and it's the last one that's the answer. I want to be a better person. I want to be more comfortable with myself. I want to be more relaxed. And that's, I would say, a lot of people give that.
Oh yeah.
In this, you know, we talked about that last week, and look at the massive reaction. I've still got people emailing me about last week. What technology has done to your life? I'm still getting emails and articles sent to me about it. So I'd love to be in a more relaxed state, and that would be one of mine. I would love to be in a more relaxed state. Why? Because I'm stressed all the time when I'm working and the traffic and that. Because, well, why don't you want to be stressed? Because I'm not happy. Well, why do you want to be happy? Cool, because that's the end of my answer. I want to be happy. I want to be happy by being in a more relaxed state.
Yeah.
Good. Well, now I know what I want to be, and I know why I want it. And that now becomes the power of the drive, and that's what we call motive.
Yep.
That's motive, and as a human being, we have to have motive to go there. If you keep moving through the areas, the third of those areas is your family and your friendship groups, and what you want with them, and that's around the relationships you would want with them, the time you would want with them, even the sort of lifestyle you might want with them. Still in order, and that's the third. And the fourth is then career, because I'll still
argue.
Have
you put these in order in terms of, go through them, self first, and then health and fitness, then family and personal thing. Is that in order of the importance that we should have them, prioritise them?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and people are, of course, more than welcome to disagree with that.
Yep.
That is not based some on any research.
Some people are more career-driven, and they would have their career up the top, and some people are more money-driven, so they would want the money part of it up the top.
Yep. If we were to talk about sustained success, which this clearly is trying to indicate, then I'll argue really strongly that this order is accurate.
Yep.
However, I'll say, and I'll be first to admit, it's not based on research. It's based on my own experience and people around me.
And that does come with experience, because the money and the career part of it become less important to you as you get older, and you realise a whole lot of different things about life.
Yep. If you come to the fourth element of our lives in terms of career, the most successful people that I've worked with in my very long time in business now are very solid on those first three fronts. They are comfortable with who they are.
Yep.
Their health and fitness is managed very, very well, and they have very solid family relationships. And because of that foundation, they are able to be very good in their careers. And that's why I'll argue it, because I've seen it so many times, but it also makes logical sense to go to your career goals once you've settled on what those first three areas are about. And only when you've covered those four should you then move to the last category, which is the finance and lifestyle. It's ludicrous to go to that first. Finance and lifestyle being around, you know, the home you live in, the cars you drive, the holidays you have, the entertainment, the clothes you wear and so on, and even planning for your retirement. It is nonsense to go to that, other in my view, other than last, because it's not sustainable. You may be able to do it for
it's
a short
time. It's
the tail
wagging the dog.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then you go, well, okay, for every one of those five, what do you want? What do you want? And if that takes you 5 minutes, I'd be stunned. It will take you hours.
Yep.
And it's an ever-changing game, and that's fantastic. And it will have some confusion, and that's fantastic. And you have to get excited about...
Because it means you've got choices.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good point, Kev. Confusion is only there because you have choices.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. So for each of them, what do you want and why do you want it? So even if you go to the family and say, well, you know, I'd love more family time. Why?
Yeah, sometimes that's not a good thing.
We'll get 10 texts to you saying, I want less family time. Yes. Less family time, more time at work. The only way I'll stay married and so on and so on. So then you go to, for each one of them, what I want and why I want it. And then the third part of it, we'll start to cut to the chase a little bit, in terms of how are you going to measure the achievement of the goals that you're setting there, because we do have to cut to the chase.
Mm.
I'm not one to say that it has to be brilliantly and 100% foolproof accurate in terms of the way you measure it, but you have to commit to some measurement. Like for someone to say, I want to be in a more relaxed state, or I want to be a better family member, or I want to be a better friend in my friendship groups, or I want to be better at work, you're not really going to get very far unless you put some sort of measure on that. Now, even if it's your feeling, I would accept that. Now, a lot of trainers like myself would not accept that.
I do.
Because otherwise you're just going to dismiss the point. If someone says, well, yeah, I want to be a better team player at work. Why? So you get all that. I want to be a better team player at work. Well, how are you going to measure that? If someone said to me, well, I can get some feedback from other people at work. Well, that is a measure.
Yep.
Or I actually reckon I can sensibly give some notion of whether I'm a better team member or not. I'd accept it, because if you're going to reject the measure, you damn near start to reject the goal in the first place.
Yeah, the whole thing falls
down.
And
all you'll end up with is, I want to lose 5 kilos in 5 weeks. I want to increase my income by 10%. And I want to get home by 6 o'clock 3 nights a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, honestly, you don't need anyone's help to do that sort of stuff. It's got to be broader than that, because it's about life.
Yeah.
So what's the measurement that you're prepared to commit to set on this journey of success?
And if it's a measure of happiness and contentment and those sorts of things in a role, you're the only one that can tell you whether it's better or not.
I'm
the only one that can tell you whether I'm happier today than I was yesterday.
I'll guarantee that every single person hearing this, if just answer this question straight away. Don't think about whether yes or no. Was 2016 a better or worse year than previous years for you? Everyone will know the answer. Now, I'm not blaming anyone if your answer was it wasn't a very good year for us. And I would say for me, it wasn't as good a year as I would like, because we had all sorts of challenges within in and outside the family of health and all sorts of other things going on. Not all under our control. But I'd say last year, so if I had to answer the question, was I as happy in 2016? The answer was no. And I know that.
Yep.
But I couldn't tell you it's like 89.37% on the scale of happiness. And nor do I want to. But I know I wasn't. And I also know when my stress levels are through the bloody roof, I don't have to go and get a blood pressure measure to find out.
Relax, Alan. Relax. Alan Rodway from Your Coach Online is in the studio. We are talking about success. And the things that you sort of sit down. At what stage do you do this, or is there any you can do it at any stage and readjust and reassess?
Absolutely, I wouldn't care how far, how good, how far, how often anyone's been involved in creation of success or goal setting, whatever you want to call it. It should never stop. It should be an evolving process, and it has to be weekly, which is why I've set this up, and why the offer on Your Coach Online is to get involved with this by, you know, and to give our business a plug, Kev, is to sign up at $25 a month to be held to account to what you want to create in this year and success in your life. So it's for everyone. It's for a 15-year-old kid, and it's for a 62-year-old who may feel lost or just wants to be a bit happier in their life across all of these areas that we're talking about.
Is a week enough time to evaluate changes?
No way. But to go more than a week, you start to lose one of the biggest elements of success, and that's accountability.
Yeah, okay.
Like SEN being the most prominent station in sport by a country mile. And I mean that, not because I'm sitting in the studio. But we all listen. Everyone I know listens to SEN because it's all sport. Yeah. And we love it because that's what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm here sort of on high performance in a sort of a broader sense, and not that I put myself in the league of so many people who come and sit in this chair. But so much of that sporting success is based on accountability. It's based on hourly accountability.
Yep.
You look at businesses, the corporate, some of the corporate businesses at the highest end are doing profit and loss statements per shift. You know,
wow.
I've acted for some
companies.
They actually do. Yeah, they do. They actually produce a profit and loss statement per shift, which means they're producing
well,
them two or three times
a day. I suppose
the
Dow Jones moves every minute, doesn't it, really,
oh,
when you think about it?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. It's just changing so far. So if you're not monitoring actions in terms of are you implementing them and should you be adapting them and how are they working and what are they achieving on a weekly basis, you will start to drop off.
Yeah.
A week is, there's no way you can go longer than a week.
And if you've got a problem, it's much easier to fix it at the end of the first week than it is at week six.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's sort of like, even the work I do with business coaching, I get feedback to say, everyone was really good after you were here. But the sort of the longer it is before you come back, things start to drop off. You go, well, that's not a very good sign and not a very strong testament to my coaching, because that is exactly the opposite to what's supposed to happen.
Yep.
It's not supposed to be an injection in the arm to everyone to feel good and go and do some things. It's to get people to fundamentally understand who they are, what they are and what they're trying to achieve, so that they actually start to take control, which is what this is about. It's not for me to take control of anybody's life. It's to aid the accountability process by reporting into someone, as you do a mentor or a personal trainer, regularly enough to say, hey, this is working and I feel good, or it's not and I'm in trouble. Can you help me? It's you know, genuine and pure coaching. So the next question we come to in each of those little boxes is, what is your current reality? And people need to be really...
Whoa!
You always make me laugh, Kev.
Whoa, that's the... And the honesty tablets have to be taken in this process, don't they?
They do.
You can't hide here. You can't be fooling yourself, because the only person you're fooling is yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the drinker who drinks and says, no, I only have two a day, and he's actually having 22. Yeah. It's all those sorts of things that you've... You just can't. Your current reality is you have to actually get the mirror up and go, well, here we go, Jack. Off, this is where we're at. Is that where these things can become a problem?
Absolutely.
And where you need to sort of say, no, actually, you need to be really honest here.
Yeah, you do. Because if you're not, what's the old saying? If you're only fooling yourself, no matter what you're saying to somebody else. So you have to be brutally honest with this. What is your current reality? And you probably just captured 1/3 of the population in terms of drinking. If you put in drinking,
well,
smoking, party drugs, whatever, we probably captured 40% of the population in one hit. So what's your current reality and how you feel about you and your health and your fitness? What's your current reality with your family and your relationships? What's your current reality in your career? What's your current reality and your finances?
Well, there's
and
a week of my life gone answering all those ones.
But you look at, have a look at the number of businesses, and look, in some senses, I'm generally trying to become one of them. From my budget to the personal trainers to the gymnasiums that have sprung up to all of these things that are trying to help people, good, bad, or otherwise, across the sorts of things that we may well joke about in terms of their health or in terms of their relationships and stuff. There's a reason that businesses can spring up and make money from people. It's because people get in trouble. They actually do. People only go to a business like My Budget because as a last resort. Yeah, I'm out of control. I don't know what to do with my money. I'm going down fast. I need help. I can't manage my money. And I've got friends who have done that.
Yep.
Or I've gone to Jenny Craig or I've gone to whatever because I cannot do this myself. I'm paying a personal trainer. I just can't get out of bed in the morning to do this.
Well, people go to gyms and then find that doesn't work after 6 weeks or whatever. So they get a personal trainer because my wife's a classic example. This gets a personal trainer who taught you that. No, we'll do this push-ups now. You know, and she did them. And you do them because you all do them. If it makes you go away, I'll do it. We do need people to help us with these things.
So that person or that institution has to help the person not come to terms with their current reality, but to your point, be honest about it.
But the hardest one's the first one. The hardest one's there are businesses and organisations who can help you with finance and career and all those sorts of things, but it's the you that it all starts back at question one.
Yeah.
What, as an individual, do you want?
I think that if you sort of switch to the coaching side of this, anybody who sets themselves up as an expert in life is doomed to fail. I don't believe there's any such thing. I certainly believe there's many people cleverer than I am in life, so I don't purport to be an expert in life. It's not about that. It's about someone on the outside of you who can do exactly what you just did and to say, boy, this is a big one. What is your current reality? You need to be really honest.
Mm.
And are you being honest? Now, there's a skill in that. It's not so much a, I know lots about life. It's a common sense and it's an, a willingness to challenge an individual for their sake.
It's a facilitation role.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. You don't I don't have to say, look at me, I'm perfect. My life's all hunky-dory. Do you know what? In fact, sometimes it's more helpful to be able to say to a person, look, I struggle with life in the same way as you do, but between the two of us, we're going to be a lot better.
Yep.
And that creates an objectivity, a purity and an honesty that a person will engage with a lot better than if I'm sort of reporting into a mentor who's just perfect and sometimes can make me feel bad.
To equate that back to a sporting angle, there's a reason why back pocket players became good coaches, because they appreciated the work,
yep.
the toil, what Brilliant. They had to go through to be able to
Brilliant.
To be on that field. Whereas
Brilliant.
The bloke who could take speckies and jump 17 feet in the air and kick goals out of his backside had no appreciation of the fact that you just could. Why can't you do that? I can.
We love AFL. Have a look at the myriad of AFL coaches now who are at the highest success rates in there, and have a look at their backgrounds, and they all match exactly what you just said. They're hardworking realists who understand the disciplines behind what we're talking about here. So this accountability aspect of this matrix and this approach is absolutely fundamental to anybody's success. You can't just say to it, there's no such thing as a human being. You can just sit down and go, I'm going to achieve that, and that, and off I go. I don't need anybody's help. I'll face all the hurdles as they come, and everything's hunky-dory. It just doesn't happen.
No.
We all fall over.
It doesn't even happen in movies anymore. They stopped writing those movies because it just people weren't buying into that reality. It doesn't work like that. I want to take a break, and when I come back, I want to hit the next question, because that's where you've kind of almost done all the theory.
Yep.
Now the practicality of actually stepping up to the plate is the next bit we'll look at. With Alan Rodway, your coach online, jump on and have a look at the success matrix, because it could change your life. Could be a real. It's a really good exercise to go through just to ask yourself the questions, even if you don't jump on and join in the program. Because now we get to the pay dirt part. Now this is the part where you've done all the theory part of it, but now the best question of all, and one that probably frightens everybody. What are you prepared to do to make all these things you've just talked about happen?
It is the hard question, isn't it? This is where the rubber hits the road. So you go, okay, what I want, why I want it, how am I going to measure it, and what's my current reality now?
Oh,
what are you prepared to do?
Now I actually have to do something to make it happen?
What am I prepared to do? And it is the crux of everything to move forward here.
Yeah.
And if you said the last column, my current reality has to be answered honestly, this has to be answered brutally honestly, or everybody is wasting their time, and you'd certainly be wasting your time paying me to help you if you're not going to be honest in this part.
Absolutely.
What are you prepared to do? So at the measurement end, you can, if you want to reduce your weight by X kilos and you're going to eat 1,200 calories a day for the next 10 weeks, well, you have to mean that you're prepared to do that. If you want to become a better family member and you sit down that I'm prepared to do this, you actually have to mean that, or you're going to feel really bad about yourself. I mean, what is the point of being in an engaging relationship with me or a coach or a mentor, anybody or just a friend, if you're not going to be honest with this, and you get to the end of your second or third week and you're now starting to have conversations around why you're not doing what you said you were going to do?
Yep.
They're not the conversations you want to have. They're conversations of mediocrity and failure. The conversations you want to be having are, this is working, this bit's not though, so how do we adapt the actions to make that work
better? Expect it all to change overnight. That's the other thing that people too much think, you know, I give up smoking. Well, I give up smoking, yes, I do. I'll never want to. Yes, you will.
Yep.
you've got to persevere with some of these things, and you've got to be willing to actually forgive yourself for making a mistake every now and again too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's, you know, what do they say? There's success, failure, and learning. There's success or learning. There's no failure. There's success or learning.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I love that. So what are you prepared to do? And that's the real honesty walk that we have to take before you go to the next column, and then on a weekly basis saying,
with the what are you prepared to do? And you can make that
or not do.
Yeah, you can make that incremental too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, okay, I eat biscuits. I like biscuits. Sorry, I love Scotch finger biscuits, and I eat them, and I enjoy them, and I've got an obsession now for Anzac biscuits. But and if I want to lose some weight, I'll stop. Yep. I'll cut down eating them or stop eating them. But I might not stop eating them all today.
Yeah.
I might have a couple today and then a couple tomorrow, but I mightn't have the 10 I have.
Absolutely.
So you can kind of build up to things.
Yeah. Like, imagine if someone signs up for this and starts saying things to me like, I'm going to go and do an MBA I'm going to eat 1,000 calories a day. I'm going to exercise six times a week for 45 minutes. I'm going to see my kids for 3 hours a day without fail. And compared to that, I've done nothing like that in the past. I mean, will I be saying, well, that's just silly.
Yeah, it is.
So you need to eat a few less Scotch finger biscuits at the start before you get it. It's not going to happen. So that's where the sort of the accountability and some of the just common sense advice can really help.
Yep.
But the accountability around what I'm prepared to do before you go to the next column on a weekly basis is a simple question. What have you done so far? And that's when you're going to get the chance to say, well, I used to eat six Scotch fingers a day. Now I eat three.
Yep.
And I used to never exercise. And the last week I did it twice. I never used to get home before 7 p.m. to see the family. And last week I made it home by 5 p.m. twice. Or I really struggled to communicate in group forums. And last week I spoke up twice. And I felt good that I did.
Yep.
That's the sort of messaging and communication we want to get back from people to say you're really starting to get somewhere, to your point, incrementally.
Yep.
So there's really positive signs there. But of course they'll be saying, I tried this and it didn't work. Or I didn't try it. Why? And if the answer is I lack self-discipline, well, it's the recognition of that that can help overcome the problem. It's when people start, you know, people don't do something through a lack of self-discipline and don't proclaim it, that it will continue because they're not nominating the real cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do it because I didn't feel like it. I didn't do it because this came up. Well, what's the truth? The truth is you lack self-discipline. If that's the reality, well, then kick yourself on the backside and commit to not letting it happen again the next week. So that's where the conversation's so really important. And then the last part of it is what you've achieved so far. Not what you've done so far, but what you've achieved so far. How much weight you've lost, what you've achieved so far in your career, what you've done so far in your family, how you feel about yourself and so on and so on. What have you achieved? So you just keep going along these questions, along the matrix, so that your life gets better and you get more astute at the choices you make, that you become more disciplined how you go about life, and you become better at fronting the challenges that we know will come.
What I like is this gives you parameters of behaviour, parameters of things to do, parameters of a way to live, but not a box to sit in.
Yep.
A lot of people can do that, and I think that's the inhibiting thing of diets and all those things that we put ourselves through in life. Do that. They kind of box us in. They kind of I don't know what the right word is, but they take over your life, and you let them do that. And you shouldn't.
Yep.
You should work them.
Yep.
They should work for you.
Absolutely.
Not you should work for them.
Absolutely.
And this kind of parameter where you break it up into different areas.
Yep.
You allow yourself some box ticking here and some crossing there. You know, I got that one. I did that one. No, I didn't do that one. Okay, fair enough. I didn't. But you actually give yourself some room to move and some room to be human and some room to be good with it and be you know, not so good with it.
Absolutely. Was that at a social function yesterday afternoon, and I mean this very, very respectfully and very kindly, and I overheard a conversation across two or three people where they were talking about maybe they'd all go to a weight loss type centre together because they wanted to have the camaraderie of trying to conquer that together. And without making comment on them, because I don't know the people well enough, but I would hope that those people and so many people listening to this, whether it's weight loss or whatever, go back to that first box. You must start with yourself. Don't jump into weight loss. Don't jump into what you'll do about your career until you genuinely ask the question how comfortable you are with you.
Mm.
Because if that's not a yes or somewhere near it, you're going to struggle with the rest of it. You've got to start there. And I'd say to everyone, if you're very uncomfortable with who you are, you need to start there and only there. And only there. You need to get back in touch with who you are and who you want to be before you even think of, you know, I wouldn't say go into all of the five boxes unless you think that you're going to be successful to do it. So it's sort of, and the other part of this is.
I agree with you. Don't go on to question two until question one's answered.
We come across this point so many times, and we have for years now, that because of the speed up in life, so many people, so sadly, in the Australian population have really got out of whack. But they've got out of whack with themselves. And in my personal view, it's the getting out of whack with yourself that leads to the getting out of whack with everything else. It starts with you. It doesn't... Broken relationships, poor career, low career satisfaction, all of that sort of stuff, not earning enough money, you're not happy about your weight or your exercise, all that sort of stuff, it starts inside. Yeah, I actually said to a client last week, and I'll tell you the truth, I'll give you the honest reaction, I thought I was nuts. I said to a client, "Yeah, you need to stop looking for happiness on the outside. It's on the inside." And a person looked at me, you know, and really sort of as if say, "Well, you should be a Buddhist monk, Alan," you know. And that's what I sounded like. But that's my experience of life. I know if I'm not okay on the inside, I haven't got hope in hell.
It's not some transcendental hippie kind of, you know, go to the mountain, sit on top of the mountain and rub your tummy and pat your stomach at the same time. Do you know what I mean? It's not that. Being happy is actually the most underrated thing in the world, I reckon. But people think, "Oh, I'm happy." Well, you're not really.
And yet the business people are the first to pay someone like me as a business coach to help them achieve work-life balance. It will come up in every meeting. What do you want me to help you achieve more in your career, in your business? Oh, well, apart from more profit and greater business value and stop all these bloody troublemakers I've got on my staff, I want you to help me have more work-life balance.
Well, when I ring you at 7 o'clock on your mobile, don't be in your office.
Which goes back to what we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
So you see,
everything taken over, the technology taken over everything.
So also give some consideration to what the hurdles may be, to what they may be. Now you know that I've accidentally silly word, you'll tell me, accidentally fallen into this how many days in a row I've ran. And in 2 days' time,
accidentally, my bum.
In 2 days' time, I've ran for 2 years without a day off on this Tuesday, January 31. Now, I tell every single client this. I ask a question: how many of those 731 days, which is what it'll be?
Not
on
that anyone's
on
counting, except Forrest over here.
How many of those 731 days do you actually think I've felt like running?
Oh, maybe half of them.
Not even that.
Yeah.
Not even that. No, not even that. Oh God, not even that. You know, in the last week I've had a cold, haven't been all that well, and I've got lots of reasons why I don't want to go and run, and my brain's brilliant at rationalising why I shouldn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's this and it's that and all this sort of stuff. But it hasn't even been a goal. It is actually something that I've just sort of fallen into, so I'm sort of not going to stop until I've got some good reason to stop.
Yep.
The point is this. If you really want to be successful, I'm not saying I am, if you really want to be successful and achieve your goals, you must make the commitment to do what it takes no matter how you feel.
Mm.
Otherwise, I'm going to say, I'd love to be a really good family member unless I feel angry. I want to be a really good career person unless I'm pissed off. I want to be fantastic at exercise unless I'm feeling a little bit lazy.
Yeah,
it just, you've got all these excuses, so you have to add the words irrespective of how I'm feeling at the time. That's why I'm giving this silly example of my running. It can't have anything to do with how I feel, or I would have stopped.
Yes. No, look, it's a fascinating exercise to go through, and one that I think you'll get a lot out of. If jump on Your Coach Online, start with question one. Don't move until question one is answered. rationally, honestly, and as much as you want it to be. Don't move on to question two.
Correct.
Get question one right first. The success matrix. It's up online, and as Alan said, there's an offer there if you want to hook up with Alan and have some coaching. You can do that in an email forum and also
by phone.
By phone, one to one.
We put it in, Kev, to, and sorry for the commercial plug, we put it in at $25 a month so that anyone can engage that. I mean, you're going to go and spend $25 a month on coffee or spend more on it. So that if you're genuinely about changing your life and creating some success, I'd love to be involved with you, and I'll do it personally.
Yep.
Have a look at the website, send me an email, and we'll get on the phone and see if it's for you.
Your Coach Online. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much,
Kev. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's gorgeous out there.
Thanks, mate.